You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Wednesday! Yes, despite the graphic, it is the Roto Experts, Chick Seeley, Corey Parsons, and for the third straight day, a different co-host with us. We got Andy Singleton, Fantrax, joining us, although he was really just a restaurant. Now, this is the second topic. Mic on? I'm going to talk to myself.
No, you were real broken up right there when you came in. But wait, we can hear you loud and clear now. What's good with you all in, kid? Andy Singleton is here.
I am.
Yeah, I know. We're getting sloppy seconds over here from the Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Look at that.
I'd be happy to be your first call.
I don't believe you on that one.
I just remember the last time I saw you, I was chastising you somewhere in a bar on 42nd Street. And I just remember you smiling and just saying, yes, I'll forgive you for this right now. So I'm just happy to be talking to you again, Jake.
Yeah, I don't remember what you were chastising me for. I know you're getting friendly with everybody, though. That's all I know.
Oh, well, I'm people's pen. I'm here for the people. I'm here for the masses.
People's pen.
That
I
sounds
like
you, Corey. Corey, were you able to get your jacket? Did you get that situated?
I'm going to go uptown after this and take care. I saw other things I wanted to do, too. I won't have the time to do that, but you know how it is. Being the life of the fantasy executive, it never stops.
What else are you trying to do? Most of us don't get to do anything until like the few hours we get on a Saturday. That's about it.
No, I wanted to, when I get uptown, I clean up nice, so I wanted to get fully cleaned up. But I'm not going to have a chance because I got to really only get a boy, by the time I get out of here, I'll be walking in the door, grabbing my stuff, and then walking out and getting back for this Combine special we're doing. So make sure everybody check that out. It'll be on FNTSY YouTube channel with replays throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I'll pimp that out later.
Thank you, sir.
You know what? I got a selfish question for you, Andy.
Sure.
On Fantrax, because I'm in one of these best bowls.
And are you enjoying yourself?
No, we just started at 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
I haven't got there yet. No, my question was, is there a way to get an email alert when you're on the clock?
I believe so. I could verify that for you and get back to you when I find the answer.
Let me know. I searched everywhere. That would definitely help because just in case you only get the two-hour window, which I kind of like. I like that you don't get 6 hours or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, no, there actually is an option. I just got to remember where to find it, that you can literally get alerts for anything or turn off anything. Fantrax is by far the most customizable league hosting site out there. I mean, when I say you can get alerts for anything, you can get alerts when you know players on your watch list get signed. If they go out to eat dinner with their wives or whatever.
This isn't a commercial for you guys. Come on.
No. I'm just saying it's literally like there's a whole page. That,
I was going to ask you, are they paying you for this?
No.
Andy, we already got you covered. We already did a Fantrax read early in the show, so yeah. We got you covered.
Oh no! I'm telling you, this friend to friend.
I love
this
that.
Has
I love
nothing
that part
to do
right
with.
There.
Anything, you know, additional. This is just,
you know,
I would tell you this off air.
As a side, Corey, I guess we're going to have to save this for tomorrow because I promised the YouTube audience we would talk about it. They kept asking. They wanted, because you brought it up yesterday, they wanted the story of what happened with Braddock.
Oh, and they wanted the story of what happened with Braddock. Wow.
Yeah.
The Goon Squad knows the story, but they don't know what happened after we told the story on air that day. Because, see, that day on air, I didn't know you was talking about Braddock.
Yeah, they don't know everything either. And they're a little bit different grouping and stuff like that. So you might have to save that one for tomorrow.
Okay. We'll save that one for tomorrow. I'm down with that.
But we got a lot of football news to mix in with baseball today.
Yes, a lot of football stuff going on.
Yeah, combine, coaches are saying stuff on the podium. And then probably the biggest one, guys, Matt Forte retires.
Yay.
Yeah, 33rd all-time in rushing right now, 9,796 yards, 21st all-time in receiving for running backs, 4,672. He's 43rd overall in all-purpose yards. That's including wide receivers.
That's 43rd,
14,468. Only 78th in touchdowns with 75. I put all that out there for two things, Corey. Is one, obviously, to get your opinion on Matt Forte. He will go into the Bears Ring of Honor. Like, he is going to be in their ceremony. Maybe they might even retire his jersey, but we know that. What do you remember fondly about Matt Forte? Does he have any shot at the Hall of Fame?
No, I think he's a very good NFL player, a very good career. You might see him pop up on the bottom of the list 5-6 years from now. I don't think he'll ever get anywhere close to the recognition, but a good, solid NFL career. Definitely, I agree with you, a guy that's going to go down as one of the great Chicago Bear offensive players. You look at his numbers, his ability as a running back and a pass catcher. He had 2 or 3 years where he looked like he could have very well been one of the better running backs in NFL, probably in that top five conversation. Obviously, his pass catching ability was something that we really liked as fantasy owners. He never was really able to finish near the goal line, never was really a tough inside runner, and through the prime of his career, he dealt with high ankle sprains. So, you know, injuries kind of took some of his thing away. Most running backs it does, but I don't think he ever gets into the Hall of Fame conversation.
If I'm allowed to chime in, I would agree with that as well. I mean,
that's why you're here, Andy.
Yeah, microphone right there. You sitting down? It's a microphone. You're allowed to chime in.
Listen, this is my maiden voyage on this show, but I was sarcastically yaying because I am the Jet fan, so I'm happy that he's not going to cloud that backfield, you know, mess again for New York this year, but. On the surface, you think Matt Forte and you think of what he's meant to fantasy and the NFL for his career and how prominent he was and how much we all knew him. And you think, yeah, wow, that was a generational guy of the decade. And then you go back and you look at the numbers and he was a 1,000-yard rusher, but he was barely squeaking by. He never hit double-digit touchdowns. He had that one amazing season where he had 102 receptions. Outside of that, it was very pedestrian. He's more like in the 50s as a running back. So when you look at the numbers alone, they're really not Hall of Fame worthy or impressive. But the image that I have of Matt Forte was, yeah, definitely a guy I knew, definitely a guy, you know, I'd want, but not a Hall of Famer.
You say pedestrian. No, that's a tough word to describe Matt Forte as pedestrian.
And maybe I'm overselling it a little, but what would you call 50 receptions for a full-time running back?
50 receptions for a full-time running back? That's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What would be pedestrian to you then? 30?
Yeah, a pedestrian is 25, 30.
That's above good.
Okay.
Yeah, 50
that's
is good.
Great.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, 50. Yeah. Running backs, I mean, running backs don't really catch. A lot of wide receivers don't catch 50 balls. You feel what I'm saying?
There was only 14 that even did it last year.
I mean, I just think of that 100-yard season, and I feel like there was more than one. And
that was game. That was that coach.
That's your point. So that was the ceiling. We saw the ceiling of Matt Forte, and I think that's the question. Or not the question. I think that's the solution here is that, to this point, Corey, is if it wasn't for injuries, Matt Forte might actually be a Hall of Famer.
No, when he was healthy and they was giving him the rock, Matt Forte, I mean, acceleration through the hole, moves, catch the football out of the backfield, had a good amount of shake and bake. He was never anything near the goal line, though. Running next to the goal line was not his MO, was not his forte.
He was pedestrian.
He was better than people give him credit for is the fact that the team just never gave him that many opportunities. Don't forget, even in the season that he had 100 receptions, the year before that he scored more in fantasy because he had 9 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, so that was good.
A lot of times, he was jerked around a lot of times.
Andy, you got his numbers up?
What's his
career YPC?
His career YPC?
7.8.
There you go. Jake is better than
7.8?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's not pedestrian at all.
You're talking about yards per catch, right?
No, I'm talking about yards per carry.
No, it was 4.2.
Oh.
I'm about to say 7.8. Yeah. I'm about to say, wow,
no,
wait a minute.
That was 8.4 was his receptions. But,
8.4.
His rushing yards were 4.2.
Yeah, over 4 yards a pop his whole career. That's impressive.
Listen, at no point did I say he wasn't good or impressive.
I think him being on the Jets.
You dropped pedestrian out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I think him being on the Jets and you being a Jet fan may have you biased against him in a certain way.
Is he in the Hall of Fame for you?
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
So then we're in agreement.
No, but okay, so here's the, I'll give you a good example.
I do agree with you on
that. A friend of ours, Jody Smith, tweeted this out.
Here's the 2008 running back class. Darren McFadden, Jonathan Stewart, Chris Johnson, Jamal Charles, Ray Rice, Slayton, Hightower, Forsett, Mendenhall, and Felix Jones. Matt Forte is the best, and that includes Jamal Charles.
Well, Jamal Charles only had a couple healthy years himself, so in longevity, Forte surpasses Charles just from that point.
I don't know if I would say that Matt Forte was better than Jamal Charles. I don't know if I would.
Definitely.
Really? Jamal Charles. And Jamal Charles, Jamal Charles was a beast. Now, he didn't carry the ball as much.
Peak. That's what I'm saying. This is the Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame argument. Terrell Charles had that little peak where, yes, he was definitively the best. But if you're talking about career, Forte to Jamal Charles' career, you would talk about injuries destroying a career.
Yeah. Well, if you had a healthy option.
The back end of his career, though. What happened?
You got one game. You get one Forte or Charles. You know they're both healthy. Who would you rather have?
Jamal Charles.
Exactly. So I think that's what Jake's saying, right?
I thought Jake said he would take Matt Forte.
Oh, then I'm in disagreement.
No, I'm taking Matt Forte. I'm taking Matt Forte for his career. Out of that entire draft, who was the best running back? It ended up being Matt Forte.
Yes.
That's the point.
But that's just attrition more than
talent. We're not talking about, if you want to talk about pure talent, I'll give you Jamal Charles. But if we're saying, as of today, if we're saying, hey, who was the best running back from the 2008 running back class? It's definitively Matt Forte.
Look, Jamal Charles has led the league in rushing before. I don't think Matt Forte has ever led the league in rushing.
Oh, he hasn't. He's been at the top. He's never led the league in rushing.
Okay, all right.
But he's had 5 years of terrific production. Matt Forte has 7 straight years of terrific production. That's the difference.
He's got the most Hall of Fame possibility, but I think we all agree that he's not a Hall of Famer.
This is what it comes back to, Corey, is Terrell Davis versus Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor, in my opinion, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame before Terrell Davis, 1,000 times out of 1,000.
I agree with you on that. I think Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame is a product of the NFL Network.
I can see that. What's your thoughts on that, Andy?
Yeah,
Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame. Were you okay with that?
I'm okay with it because, to me, the Hall of Fame has a certain appeal of what you meant to people, not just number-wise.
All right, well, hold on. You weren't around for this. Let me throw this stat at you. Corey knows where I'm coming. I'm about to say it. So the 3-year peak that everybody talks about with Terrell Davis, and he won the Super Bowl with John Elway, all that type of stuff, and the reason he is in the Hall of Fame. Did you know his 3-year peak is worse than Tiki Barber's 3-year peak? Tiki Barber had more yards and almost the same amount of touchdowns over a 3-year span than Terrell Davis did over his 3-year span.
Yeah, I can totally buy that. Tiki Barber was one of the premier running backs.
Right, and nobody wants him in the Hall of Fame, though.
Well, he was also, befell by injuries and then his own he just complicated things with his off-field demeanor and stuff like that. I mean, I think that's what soured people on him. You go back to Terrell Davis, though, those peak years, how many 2,000 yard rushers have there been in history? So I think that really elevates him to a whole different level when we're talking about Hall of Fame stuff. Plus the Super Bowls, plus John Elway. I mean, there's more there than just the longevity of his career or, what was, pedestrian after that 2000.
Is that your word of the day?
This will be it, yes. #pedestrian.
#pedestrian. But either way, he'll be remembered fondly. Let's put it that way. Matt Forte, when you see 10 years from now, 22, somebody rocking a Bears jersey, and you don't see the back of it, you're going to assume it's a Matt Forte jersey.
No, it'd be a Peyton jersey.
What's that question again?
If you saw a Bears running back jersey, you wouldn't assume it would be Forte on the back.
Yeah, I would.
No, I said, and the number was 22.
Oh, I don't know who else was 22. Is that like Sayers?
No, that's what I'm saying. Even if somebody saddled up and picked number 20, I'm saying this is like Matt Forte is 22 of the Bears. That's him.
Yeah,
that's my point.
Okay.
That's his gig right there. That's his MO. He's one of the better offensive players to ever play for the Chicago Bears.
I don't think anybody's arguing his value. I mean,
have you ever seen the Bears' all-time list of offensive players?
It's not that great. That's why I said it. I mean, I'm not saying it makes it easy, but the Bears are generally not known for their offensive prowess. When you look at that, obviously you have Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, and stuff like that. Matt Forte now moves squarely into that conversation as one of the best. If you were to put together a Bears all-time team, obviously Walter Payton would be the running back, but second would probably be homeboy Matt Forte.
Matt Forte has the second most yards for this team rushing in history, and the second most receiving yards. Do you guys know who has the most receiving yards? This is all-time receivers.
All-time receivers for
the... All right, he's got the second most for running backs. Do you know who has the most all-time receiving yards for this
team? Most all-time receiving yards for the Chicago Bears.
You won't know it. Johnny Morris. 58. He finished... Look, this is the all-time Bears leading receiver. 5,059 yards. That's crazy. All-time. Matt Forte, with his 4,100 and change, is seventh all-time. Walter Payton is fourth all-time. You know who's third all-time in his brief stint there, Corey?
Brandon Marshall.
Alshon Jeffrey is third all-time.
And he was there for 4 years to start his career. He did have a good rookie season. He did come out smoking. You know what I'm saying?
But
That's not an offensive team. They've never been an offensive team. Their bread and butter, their stick is on the defense. You look at the quarterbacks on that team throughout the course of history. The Chicago Bears have just not been a team that have good offensive players. And Matt Forte, one of the better ones, he should be in Soldier Field.
Thomas Jones, their sixth all-time rusher.
That's crazy. And Thomas Jones, he might be the Jets' sixth all-time rusher.
Thomas Jones
was good with the Jets.
He was. Yeah, I was happy when he was in New York. What are you talking about? You're talking about Chicago all-time. I'm just looking at the running backs now. You got Neil Anderson and Rick Caceres, who both have more touchdowns career-wise than Forte. So...
I'm trying to figure out what this beef, Andy, you have with Matt Forte.
I think something's a beef.
What happened with?
He loves Bilal Powell.
I'm secretly Powell's agent. Management.
They said in the offseason that they don't think that Bilal Powell can handle a full load, so it's going to be another back in there through free agency or the draft. What do you think?
Bilal Powell's 30 years old. Like, I hope
they've already said that he can't handle a full load.
Yeah, enough of this. Enough of the Bilal Powell nonsense. I'm so tired of it.
I'm not touching them no more. I'm done with him. I'm finished with Bilal Powell.
I was getting into this. I forgot what show it was on, but I was getting into this. What they should draft at running back. I mean, same thing with the Giants. If you get out of the first round, you get out of this top tier of the top three running backs in this class. You have basically what you already have in house, which is these guys.
I think there's a little bit more there in this draft. It's loaded.
No. I'm saying what the Jets and the Giants currently
hold
have.
Hold on. No. I don't care what you're saying. We got to hit a break.
All right, let's do it.
So, Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, special guest with us, Andy Singleton. It's the Roto Experts. We're coming back in a minute.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, and special guest talking into the break as we're coming back.
Jake, when you hear this, you think Diana Ross or you think Puff Daddy and Notorious?
Puff Daddy, 100%.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. I think nobody thinks
who's
Diana
hot,
Ross. Okay.
That's actually the 8-bit version of it. I don't think anybody's even pulling from that. Yeah. Nobody, but by the way, Corey's around for tonight. Hold on, Andy. I got to do a read here. So, one second. Sorry. Sorry to jump into your jumping in. We got NFL coverage for you all year long on the Fantasy Sports Network. Make sure you catch Corey, by the way, tonight. 3-hour 2018 NFL Combine Special. It's hosted by Mike Blewett. College Football Today host Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello will be there providing way too much information on the Combine participants. And Corey's going to be providing the fantasy analysis. It's tonight, February 28th, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube channel. Rebroadcast of the telecast will air on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network until the Combine's conclusion on Sunday. And we don't stop there. Listen to Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey and Tony Sincotta every Thursday and Friday night during the offseason from 10 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern, or 7 p.m. Pacific. That's 10 p.m. Eastern. Sundays, 12 p.m., 9 a.m. Pacific for the replay. It's MLB season on the field, but always NFL season. Or MLB season on the field, always NFL season on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So what were you going to say, Andy?
I was just going to say, nobody knew Johnny Morris, and you think people are going to remember Diana Ross in this age?
Sure. Way too young for it. By the way, what's it? Are you a Yankees fan?
I am.
Good job out of you, Andy.
MLB wants to know what we're going to call Judge and Stanton. They want a nickname. I said they should steal from the WWE. Just go with the Bludgeon Brothers.
I mean, is it?
You can't do Bash Brothers because that's already been taken.
I guess you can't use Twin Towers.
You could. I mean, I think it would probably be a little. Could. Half the people would look at it as like a tribute. And like it, and probably half people would look at it as distasteful.
That's a tough line.
But you know, this is interesting though, because you're a firefighter,
correct?
And you're your regular job,
correct?
Would you say it's distasteful, or would you say it's a tribute?
I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. I was at the Trade Center on 9/11, so to me, you know, I have a tattoo of the Trade Center on my arm because the Trade Center means a lot to me.
Yeah,
I would not be offended by it.
Okay,
but I wouldn't have a problem if somebody else was.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So they're probably best they just don't go with that. But that immediately popped to mind was the Twin Towers. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, you can't say that.
I think 10 years ago, maybe even a little longer, nobody would have an issue with it. But in today's climate, just somebody's going to have a problem with it.
Man.
And even if it's one voice, it's going to be loud enough.
I told you, Corey, about this T-shirt that was from the Walking Dead show that's one lady made a rampage online about, and people signed up for it, and they pulled the T-shirt from the stores because of it. Like, Andy's right. All it's going to take is one person to start their campaign, and then people are going to jump on board, and you'll have this nickname that lasted a month because everybody got ticked off.
I mean, it's so difficult to create content in this space right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're almost on edge about anything you say. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because really everybody gets offended, and now everybody just screams at the top of their lungs until somebody listens and bends.
That's basically what happens.
That's what I was trying to do by jumping in before.
Yeah, well, you're in the middle of it now, Andy.
All right. Some other stuff from the Combine, not necessarily measurables. That's what you tune in tonight for. That's what you listen to Lisi, Sermonello, and Blewett, and, of course, Corey. That's what you're going to get tonight. But we're talking about the coaches because they're at the podium speaking about things. There's a couple takeaways from today. First off, Corey, we kind of mentioned it briefly during OT, kind of in passing, but really get a take on it now, is Hugh Jackson, Joe Mixon, he is there, or not, wait, well, hold on. Yeah, Hugh Jackson? I'm about to have a
brain fart. Why'd you say Hugh Jackson?
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking of the Browns, and like I'm all over the place.
Same thing.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all good.
It's Hugh Jackson with the Bengals, the Browns, they're all it's
AFC North.
Yeah, you might as well loop them all together, right?
Yeah, they all got the same payroll.
I mean, Lewis doesn't deserve to be there anymore anyway. We thought they were going to be joining back up anyway. But that being said, the Bengals are going into next season with Joe Mixon as their quote-unquote bell cow. So, yes, excitement, right? It was just a year too early, Corey, right?
Nah, I'm excited. I need to see some improvement on that offensive line. He showed flashes at times this year, Joe Mixon. If I'm buying in the third round, I'm nervous. If I see him in the fourth, I'll jump. I don't think he ever makes it to the fourth. I want to see improvements on that offensive line before I go back in on Joe Mixon. But when you hear that, well, us as fantasy owners, when you hear that word bell cow, our ears perk up.
I think the thing with Mixon, though, that it's appealing is he has true three-down potential, and that's why you're looking at him different. He's not just an early-down thumper. He's not just a receiving threat out of the backfield. I agree with you, though. That line is horrible. That was what their demise was, and that's why the offense didn't work at all with Dalton and Green this past season. So if you address that, the Whitworth loss was – what everybody praised the Rams for doing, right? And why they were so successful. So you really need to address that.
But I think when the GM was at the podium, he also said guards are expensive. So I'm like, is he going to be a bell cow? Are you not going to pay for Dolphins? He said the quote was guards are expensive. And I'm like, well, you run a football team. You feel what I'm saying? So interesting, Jake. You see the bell cow thrown around. Where you when you buying in the third round, Jake? As an RB2?
Yeah, buying the third round. And the only reason I'm not buying in the second is because of the offensive line.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, if the old line was there, I'd buy in the second. I agree. If they make improvements, they still got an offseason. Let's see what they do.
Yeah, and that's the big thing is you're going to have to watch and continue to see. So continuing with this, we also have the Buccaneers talking about next season, but also talk about what happened last season. And two different statements, but basically one podium presence. The Bucs said DeSean Jackson didn't get the ball enough last year, but at the same time, which is what I'm more intrigued by, that Chris Godwin deserves a bigger role. So, Corey, I kind of jokingly, when they said the thing about DeSean Jackson, said, well, that's a very funny way to mention your second best receiver, Chris Godwin. And then they followed it up and mentioned Chris Godwin deserving a bigger role. I actually think that he could unseat DeSean Jackson next year, and it's not so much the fact that the Bucs didn't do a great job of getting Jackson the ball. It's just the fact that Jackson's kind of toast at this point.
I think a lot of people were so – you know, our boy Matt Medica says a lot about Jameis and him missing on those connections. DeSean Jackson does not have the speed that he once had, and speed is a very big part of DeSean Jackson's game. I think he might have become a better wide receiver this year, but you bring in DeSean Jackson, you want those big, electric, over-the-top plays. So I can see a situation where we might see some, you know, as we get deeper in the preseason and stuff like that, you might hear a sprinkle here or there. Guys like us will talk it up. But definitely, he's going to be a double-digit round guy, Chris Godwin, that I'll take a flyer on because he could pop this year. He has a talented skill set. He's good in the red zone. He can catch footballs for touchdowns. So I think he's going to be an interesting guy to watch. I worry more about what direction this offense is going to go in with this dynamic between Winston and Cutter.
Jake, I vaguely remember being in this studio last August with you and our sister, Brandon Marianne Lee, and her bringing up something to the effect of Winston's numbers downfield and how this wasn't necessarily an automatic fit with DeSean Jackson being able to get vertical for them. So I'm not necessarily surprised that he wasn't more involved in the offense, but I'm curious, who was making these comments that he didn't get the ball enough? Was it DeSean Jackson? Yeah, but was it just DeSean Jackson in his ear telling him, you got to come out for me and be the public one with this? Because, you know, from Hard Knocks, we saw he was complaining when he wasn't getting the ball. So,
I don't think he's got that much pull.
Yeah, I don't think he can go to the GM and be like, yo, go drop this at the combine.
That's giving DeSean Jackson a little too much pull there, Andy. Come on.
Well, if we remember, he does have, you know, gang ties, so maybe he...
That wasn't true. That was made up by Chip Kelly.
Was it really?
Yeah, that was not true. That was made up by Chip Kelly to discredit DeSean Jackson after he traded him.
Okay. I take your word for it, and I would like to believe that.
So. I know it was on something recently. Somebody, who did I hear talking about this recently? I think it was DeSean Jackson. Where did I see him at? And he was talking about his relationship with Chip Kelly and how he despises Chip Kelly.
Yeah, him, LeSean McCoy, a lot of people despise Chip Kelly. No,
I gotta find this. I watched it on television. So what show was this on?
By the way, I was only going for humor with that comment. I could care less what his affiliations are.
Oh no, I feel what you're saying, but I'm just like, I just don't want that to be. I just didn't want that to be out there. You know?
No. I'm not trying to slander him at all. I love DeSean Jackson probably more than I love Matt Forte.
This was just on.
I've never liked DeSean Jackson.
Really, you don't like DeSean Jackson?
Well, he wasn't Eagle.
First of all, in fantasy, he only shows up four or five times a year. So that he's a slightly better version of Santana Moss. Second of all, yeah, a little bit is frustrated with what he always did to the Giants. I just punt it away from him. Come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, that is an all-time highlight clip.
That was one of my favorite plays ever in NFL history.
Really was.
And you know that was coming. That just shows how sad your Cowboys have been. That his favorite play is the Eagles.
I just hurt. The look on Tom Coughlin's face was amazing.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
DeSean you knew it was Jackson. Coming.
If you well, put DeSean Jackson in YouTube, DeSean Jackson was on Undisputed with Skip Bayless. That's what it was when he made that comment about Chip Kelly.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get to the next one, because let's talk about the Giants, but real quick, the Fan Control Football League is making fantasy football reality like a real-life version of Madden. Fans will get to vote on all personnel decisions and play calls in real time, and what the fans say goes. You'll scout players, draft rosters, hire coaches, and even design your team logo all through a crowdsourced vote, made possible through a blockchain technology. A public leaderboard will even show which fans have the highest football IQ, and the best performing fans will be eligible for many prizes, including a cut of a $1 million championship purse. Visit fcfl.io to learn more. It's the FCFL where you're in control. So, the Giants, we've got a couple things coming through on their news today. First off, Gettleman says the old way of thinking when it comes to running backs and draft capital is not true. If he's the best player, you draft the best player. Then, we've already heard Gettleman come out before and say that he still thinks he has something left in Eli Manning. Now we have Pat Shurmur coming out today saying Eli Manning has multiple quality years left. At this point, there's no way the Giants are taking a quarterback at number two, is there?
It doesn't sound like that. The thing about this time of year, what's up, Craigie? The thing about this time of year is, right, the problem is this time of year, you don't know what they're saying. It's so much posturing. It's so much lying. It's so much BS in this time of year coming from the head coach, coming from the general manager, coming from agents. I'm pretty sure one day next week, Lamar Jackson's Wonderlic score get leaked. So you don't really know what to believe right now. But him saying that Eli Manning still has multiple good seasons, he must have been watching Eli Manning these past couple years.
He's also factoring that Odell comes back and everything is what it was supposed to be last year. But I think they should trade down, honestly. Mm. You're in a great position to trade down. You can get the guard or the tackle or the center you want a little bit further in the first and pick up an extra pick or two. I mean, they already have an extra fourth round with the compensatory. Yeah. They could have a good draft. And I have faith in Gettleman. I was commenting and joking around that he built like a offensive lineman. So if he's announcing he wants his hog mollies and he wants his lineman, then I'm believing that that's the direction he's looking.
I don't know if you guys have seen this. The Jets have released Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Okay.
I didn't see that. I felt like that was coming.
All right.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, everybody kind of knew that was coming. But here's the thing. We saw D'Angelo Williams was on NFL Live yesterday, and he brought up the Gettleman thing, too. And he said, everybody on the Giants that's not a Gettleman guy, you better be warned, because he doesn't – if you're not his guy, he has no ties to you. He said, Eli's safe because he's already came out and praised him. He was there when Gettleman was there before. He said, but outside of that, there's very few players, if any – just be on notice. He has no ties to you.
Jake, I think it's going to be a problem getting this Odell Beckham contract done with Gettleman in there. I really think that when you made this hire at general manager, you had to take into consideration what the problem was with Gettleman, people not liking him. I think him and Odell are going to come into this thing at odds. I think it's going to be very difficult to get that Beckham deal done. And Beckham is going to try. Beckham wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL. And I think Gettleman wants to make sure that he's not the highest paid player in the NFL.
What do you think, Andy?
It's interesting what's going to happen here, because you can't rely on Eli. You would think it's lined up for them perfectly to do basically exactly what they did when they drafted Eli, which is not to be in a position to draft that high, draft our QB for the next 10, 15 years, win a couple championships. We have Engram. We have Beckham. We have a built-to-win offense if we can just maybe sign a veteran. We talked about a little earlier with Whitworth going to L.A., and all of a sudden now that offense ticks up. To me, yeah, you take the quarterback here because this is the year of the QB.
You're not in that position very often, but right. To that point, so Jordan, by the way, do you know how to say Jordan's last name? Is it Raynon or Ronon? Or how do you say his last name? Do you know?
That's home boy from the news, right?
I believe
from ESPN.
I believe it's Ronan. I've actually talked to him and it's just Ronan? Jordan. I just call him Jordan.
Are you name dropping? Okay. Name dropping now, Andy?
I could do a lot of that, but I'll refrain.
All right, well, if you name drop when you go around these guys,
hold on,
he got to talk to
Ian Rappaport when he was out
there.
Oh
yeah, that's right. So so next time you're talking Rappaport, name drop the fantasy executive. Okay,
I will do that.
Thank you, sir.
I will do that.
I'm trying to get the buzz.
He's
built.
A Queens guy,
Ian Rappaport.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was. I thought he was a Boston guy.
No, he
that's
was.
After he talks to him for 5 minutes about me, though.
Me and Jake.
So Jordan, there you go, real quick before we hit this break coming up here. So in addition to this, the Pat Shermer thing, years left as a starting quarterback. So going back to Gettleman, the quote is, "Are we open for business? You know, whatever. Any decision I make is going to be the best interest of the New York Football Giants, plain and simple. So if somebody makes me an offer I can't refuse, would I move back? Depends on who's there." He goes on to talk about it. But again, this is what I go back to Corey, and I said this to you earlier. As I really think all this talk about Barkley and taking the best running back no matter where he is, and do we take a quarterback? Maybe we don't. Maybe we take off it. Like, I just think he's just trying to get anybody who has any interest in any player inside the top five and are scared that they might not be there for them to get somebody to trade up and pay like the Bears did last year.
I think I can see a scenario where you being absolutely 100% correct, Jake. I think the Giants would like to move this pick and try to reshape that roster. But I don't know, man. Barkley's a generational player.
Here's the thing.
It's tough to pass on Barkley.
But here's the thing. You could still get a generational running back that almost of his level later on. And then maybe what if they do still end up with their franchise quarterback and take Lamar Jackson instead? That's your boy.
I mean, I'm a Lamar Jackson guy. I get it. But I don't think Jackson gets out the bottom of the first round. I think Lamar Jackson goes to Jacksonville.
I think he goes to Jacksonville late.
The Giants, to me, like I said, I think they should definitely trade down from this pick. Their perfect scenario, they would be the Josh Allen team. They drop down to like 10, take Allen to 10, let Eli play his, you know, another year or two, and you let Allen develop.
No, I'm already crossing that off the list. Don't want it to happen. I'll quit. Goodbye, Gettleman. Hey, it's Animaniacs, Corey.
I didn't know what this was.
You ever watch Animaniacs?
I've never watched Animaniacs.
All right, we're hitting a break. It's the Roto Expert Show. Jake, Corey, and Andy. We'll be right back.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers. The soul of a true fan.
Welcome back to Roto Experts.
Okay.
Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, Andy Singleton sitting in as our second host of the week, or our third host of the week, second host of the,
We got you covered, Jake. Got you.
Second co-host.
Yes. Andy is
I'm on the clock in this best ball, the Fantrax one.
Yeah.
I hate the 10th pick. You know why? Trey Turner went right before my pick. And
now
I'm left with. I know. Do I go with Betts or Sale or Chris Bryant or something like that? It's not a great spot to be in.
Sorry, Jake. I was name dropping over here.
He really was. He's got he's added a new name to drop. So there you go right there.
Yes. You can see that picture when I tweet it out later.
I got to tell you, I think I'm leaning Sale here because there's no utility. There's no corner in middle infield.
Well, that's interesting format.
Yeah.
I think
you don't make pickups through the end of the year. So if you don't get your pitching.
I missed the question.
I mean, come on, this is your thing, Andy. This is your best ball and fan track.
Yeah, I missed
the
question.
He's talking about he had the 10th pick. Trey Turner just went.
Yeah.
Which is terrible, the 10th pick. Now I'm left with Betts, Chris Bryant, or I'm leaning Sale because
I wouldn't go Sale. I don't like pitching early, period. So I mean,
I don't care. It's a point.
Yeah, still it doesn't matter. There's plenty of pitchers in the mid rounds that I would feel plenty more comfortable
you're
with.
You're wrong.
I don't want to miss. Listen, I don't want to miss out on a Correa here or a Machado or somebody of that caliber for an arm that I feel like I can get close to equal value 5 rounds from now.
You're not getting anything close to Sale even in the next round.
Aaron Nola is not going to be too far behind if that's who I'm targeting.
Yes, he is. Ooh, now you're drunk. I'm going to talk for it.
That's impressive.
You've been drinking too early.
Let me ask you this. So you say Aaron Nola can have that type of season? Why are you so high on Nola?
Sure. Look at the ratios. Look at the K per nine. Look at he's going to have a good
he's
offense
not
behind
300
him.
Strikeouts.
Is Sale going to repeat that?
Why wouldn't he?
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot of variables. My point was the pitcher you're going to take there, the drop from him to Nola is not as steep as taking an outfielder or a bat.
Actually, it is. In points, it is. This is points, not hit. This isn't rotisserie. So the fact that it's points.
I get what you're saying. I'm a points guy. I still think on a consistency basis, on a week-to-week level, I'd rather have the dominant bat.
I'm not worried about week-to-week. This is best ball.
Yeah, but it goes doesn't go week to week. It's not season long scoring, I don't believe. I think it's week to week scoring. I should know that. Let me get back to you.
Yeah, it's week to week scoring, but you're not head to head.
I have a lot of questions to get back to you on.
I already found out. I got the email alert. I got that alert. So I noticed that.
I'm working hard behind the scenes.
Are you nervous, Andy?
No.
Andy, there's a lot of celebrities have been around you the past 20 minutes or so, myself and only, the other people.
I was going to say, only one, really.
Yeah,
I'm the executive here.
What's good with you?
What's with that horn? Oh, is that the thing I'm on the clock, Andy? Is that what that giant...
That's exactly
God, that was loud.
That's exactly
holy hell, man.
That was the horn to alert a RotoWare drop. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, how'd you get hooked up with Fantrax?
You know, I basically was trying to name drop my videos, pimp my videos out, and had contacted them at one point about seeing if they would just link any of them, and they said they weren't doing any original content. And then last year, around this time, a little earlier, had this video draft guide that I was doing with my co-host, Ralph Lifshitz, who's a writer for Razzball. We call him Prospect Jesus on Twitter.
Don't curse on this.
Yeah,
No.
Why'd you curse this now? You said Ralph Lift what?
Lifshitz.
That's
it's
funny.
Actually, yeah, it's his
juvenile
moniker,
humor.
Taken off of Ralph Lauren's given name. But anyway, he's my co-host. We were doing this video draft guide and it was getting a lot of traction, a ton of hits. We basically do like each player on their own 5 minutes or less and get really deep with as much as we can in those 5 minutes. And that was taking off. So I reached out to Fantrax again and said, hey, would you want to link these now? And they said, you know what? Let's re-explore that because now we're looking to get into our own content. And it was a big leap of faith I took because my personal channel was really starting to hit a growth spurt at that time. Nice. And I was giving it all up. And
did Fantrax tell you had to give up your personal channel?
That was the request. So it was a big leap of faith I took, and they were not, you know, Al Melchior was not writing for Fantrax at the time. Keith Farnsworth, like the guys that are coming over there now, were not there at the time. So, you know, I was the big name. People were dropping my name. I was saying, you don't want to drop my name. But anyway,
all right. Well, that's
where
I
we
got
are.
Things I got to get to. I got a timeline here.
I'm sorry, Corey, Jake. My bad. Andy Singleton, this is your
takeover.
Life.
It's the takeover.
the Fantrax show over here. But another one to make sure everybody knows about is DKMS. Did you know it takes only 1 minute to potentially save somebody's life? Seriously, just 1 minute. That's how long it takes to swab your cheeks and join the donor list with DKMS. There are currently over 900,000 registered donors in the U.S., and we still need more. There's an American diagnosed every 3 minutes with blood cancer. There can never be enough donors. For only $45, you can help DKMS register a new bone marrow donor. DKMS donors save approximately 19 lives a day, and we want you to just help save one. Please, if you can, go to dkms.org/FNTSY. Today, back to what the coaches were speaking about. So we've talked about Matt Forte retiring, talked about the Bucks, we talked about Gettleman and the Giants. Here's the next one. The Dolphins As we know,
potentially
moving on from Ryan Tannehill to their next stage of a quarterback because, you know, as you guys said, it's hard to pass up when you have an opportunity to franchise quarterback. They're supposedly the highest of the quarterbacks on Josh Rosen. Problem is, Josh Rosen might be gone by the time they get there. Talking about the Giants, talking about trades. Maybe the two end up matching. Maybe they don't. Maybe they trade with the Broncos, whatever it may be. Do you think Josh Rosen makes sense with Adam Gase and the Dolphins over Ryan Tannehill, Corey?
I mean, he's going to have to do something. Like right now, I saw it at the podium. You know how Adam Gase, real nasty type attitude, smug type guy. Just look at the look on his face. It's just like he's already like disgusted to be at the combine. But he said, in quotes, Ryan is going to be our starting quarterback. I call BS. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback for this team.
Maybe this is going to be like Mike Glennon. You got three games.
Yeah, that's it. But listen, Gase is in a tough spot right now. Gase was brought here to be a quarterback whisperer. Nothing's happening. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing's whispering. There's no communication. Now, with that being said, if Gase is like, he got one shot for him, he's probably telling people upstairs, I need to bring in my quarterback, right, teach him my system, and then we're going to start winning football games. So he wants his guy to go do it. It didn't work out with Jay Cutler. It's not working out with Ryan Tannehill. So if I'm the GM, I'm like, okay, you go get your guy, right?
Right.
But if you don't win 9 games, your ass is out of here.
And I think you gotta give him that because you can't throw, you know, Jay Cutler on him and say, hey, you didn't whisper enough. It's not his
fault. Jay Cutler was his man, though. He wanted Jay Cutler.
But what were the options? There weren't really many options for him.
The backup is not bad.
Matt Moore's not bad. I like Doty, too. Brandon Doty out of Western Kentucky. I mean, I would have tried some of those other options, but they were more in a win-now position, right? So you're looking for some veteran there. They didn't expect Tannehill to go
Jake
down.
Jake not going to like my next comment. Didn't Matt Moore What's took that? Him to the playoffs the year before that?
But I mean, you gotta ask yourself though. What's the upside for Matt Moore? What's the ceiling? Case Keenum, and do you think he could have replicated that over a season?
A wild card berth.
No, but I'm saying there's a reason some guys are backups, because in short stints they can execute a game plan. But when you're starting to ask them to do things beyond the game plan and to win games for you as the day in and day out starter, that's where you see the difference between a starter and a backup. And Matt Moore, yeah, he looks great in spurts, and that's why all the fans love him, because he'll come in and he'll look better than Tannehill for, you know, 10 plays or a game or two. But over a season, is that the guy you want to write the game plan for?
The thing about it is, I feel what you're saying, Andy, but when you call yourself quarterback whisperer, quarterback guru, like
you should be able to do it with anybody.
Peterson and Frank Wright, those dudes, they work with quarterbacks. You saw what they did with Nick Foles. This dude worked with quarterbacks.
That's what Shermer did with the Vikings.
Yeah, what Shermer did with the Vikings. This dude worked with quarterbacks, and he's not doing nothing. This guy's an embarrassment.
That is true.
Sorry.
Hey. Well, I'll give one pass on Cutler, because Cutler is what he is at this point. It's the old dog, new tricks type of situation. But by the way, I did end up passing on Sale. I took bets, but I got Kluber on the way back. So there you go. I got my top-end pitcher anyway.
What is it, 12-team leagues?
See, I told you you could.
Yeah. 12-team. Nah, I was worried that Kluber might go. I named my team Cinder Guardians of the Galaxy.
I
was kind of hoping that Kluber would go, and then I would take Syndergaard anyway. But I couldn't pass on Kluber sitting there. But that being said, also, every season, the thousands of players just like you come to rotoexperts.com to help us make their season a winning season. Talk strategy in our premium Roto Experts Slack channel and get that one-on-one feeling with our award-winning experts. By the way, the schedule is live on the site today, so you can see who's available every single day and what time. Dominate your draft with the most accurate fantasy baseball rankings led by you-know-who, Corey, Jake All-In Sealy, and Scott the King Angle. You get a draft package, cheat sheet generator, player projections, and much more. And since it's all in the family, 20% off DailyRoto.com and their DFS products powered by millionaire maker Drew Dinkmeyer. Check out RotoExperts.com/MLB18 today and save 10% off the kit. Apparently, let me find out. We're ending early, but I got to find out how early. Like, can I get to another topic, or are we ending here? Like, I did that read, and that's the end. Do you know, Corey? I don't know. Everything's up in the air. See, look, you're controlling everything anyway.
How?
With your schedule.
This is
all about college football and everything.
I am very tired. And I do need to run uptown and get fresh. So,
can I ask you guys a quick question? Is that possible?
Sure.
Have you ever done 3 straight hours of video or radio and then been off for an hour, come back and done a fourth? Have you ever done that much?
Are you talking to me or Corey?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I've done plenty. I've gone 24 hours fighting fires and then come into 3 straight hours of video and then
see? That's my point. See, Corey, stop whining. Oh. look at what he's doing over here.
Look at Adam Gase on TV right now. Look at some ugly shirt, too.
Look at Corey name dropping now.
What's the question real quick before we get out of here?
So the question was, whether this happens or not, there was rumors that Teddy Bridgewater might be granted free agency. And it made me think, wow, how would that play out with this quarterback class of rookies, and how desirable would he be to somebody like you, Jake, and you, Corey, with Cousins and all the rookies?
He's never had an opportunity, in my opinion. He's never really had an opportunity. So it's going to be interesting to see where he's at.
The second season, his numbers were exactly the same in the touchdown and interceptions despite playing more games.
I like
Teddy. But he's gonna get a backup job somewhere. Nobody's gonna pay him to be the top.
Did he have the weapons though in that second year? He was still a 65% completion guy. He didn't throw any interceptions.
North Turner didn't open up the entire playbook.
Right.
And that second year, he had the Seattle Seahawks.
Look, I'm not saying the book is closed.
Yeah.
He's gonna have to be a backup somewhere. If the Giants are gonna draft the quarterback, that I could see the Giants doing something like that and let him compete with Davis Webb.
Is there enough intrigue? Mm-hmm. For Bridgewater is, I guess, my question.
People are going to want to see. They want to see the knee. They're going to want to look at his leg.
He'll have a job. He'll absolutely have a job. I don't think it'll necessarily be the Vikings because I think Kirk Cousins is too good of a fit. But we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Andy Singleton. Make sure you follow his work over at Fantrax, special guest host that we had today. Corey Parson will be back tonight, like I said, for the draft combine coverage. I'll be back tomorrow morning with Corey on the FST Morning Show. Have a good